Name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the seventh month, the 29th day, and it's the year 2018, and it's the 10th Lord's Day after Pentecost. We're giving a special lecture today in thanksgiving to God for all the graces and help He's given me to do this, to complete my book, The Hellenization of Christianity by the Anti-Church Fathers and the Scholastics. This has been going on for many, 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 many years. This is one of my most important books. I call it a monster book, attacking all these monsters. By the help of course, without God, you can do nothing in His grace. And the mediation of our Holy Mother Mary, Saint Joseph, especially the good Saint Anne, I invoke her to help and to protect the mission God has given me, so that I can continue on and my work can be, first of all, infallible and impeccable. So I vowed to God that when this book would finally be completed and pull it all together into one book and post it up, and the same day that we published it up on a website, which was on a feast day, the good Saint Anne, which was on the seventh month, the 26th day, which was the fifth weekday. And so we posted it up that day, and that very day I said, I'm going up to the mountain. We have a mountain here called Turtle Mountain. And I said, I used to say I was going to dance on the roof, you know, and that's going to be for minor stuff, you know. But this book is so big and so important and so monstrous and so, I said, it deserves a mountain. So I said, I'm going to climb up on the mountain, Turtle Mountain. I'm going to go up to the top of that mountain, and I'm going to dance on that mountain. Now, the title of this lecture is Mountain Climbing Thanksgiving for the Completion and Hellenization Book. And here's Brother Ryan Gott, and this is Brother William Norris over here on my left. And I had Ryan actually scouted out about a month or so before I went up, because I knew the book was getting ready to be published. So I had Ryan go up and scout the path out, so that everything will be okay and we'll know what's going on. So anyway, they both came up with me. We all went up together on the mountain. I asked some of the older sisters and brothers if they wanted to come up, but I was just joking anyway. It's they say that climb is not for novices, and they're right. We're going to explain to you what happened on that. On the mountain climb. Okay, so they were with me, and I just want to introduce you to them, and you're going to see pictures of them as you go along. Now, first, let me describe you this mountain. It's right across, when I come right on my front porch at 302 East Joffrey Street, it's right in front of me. I'm always looking at this mountain. It's a big mountain. And we can also see, I'm doing this lecture out on the ranch, which is 4.5 miles from my house. And you can also see the Turtle Mountain from this ranch. But you can see it even the turtle itself even better from my position on the rooftop. I'm going to show you a picture of it here, and you can see the outline and why they call it Turtle Mountain. Because the top of it looks like a turtle. I'm going to describe the mountain a little bit for you. The Turtle Mountain is also called Turtleback Mountain and Caballo Cone. At the base of the mountain here in TRC, our elevation is at 4,245 feet above sea level. The mountain itself is 6,081 feet above sea level, but from the base of the mountain to the top is 1,836 feet. Now, the path that Ryan mapped out, which you go along, we're going to show you here, you go along the spine of the mountain. You go a little bit to the left of the top, about 2 miles from the top, and you got to walk up along the spine till you get to the top of the turtle. And that's the trail that has been that the people go on when you want to get up to that mountain. The interesting part about this being Turtle Mountain is that God, this whole mission that God has given me, it's sort of like we're the turtles and other people are the rabbit. Remember the turtle and the rabbit? The rabbit goes real fast. He wants to go real quick. And the turtle goes slow, but he's the one who finishes the race, not the rabbit. So in the beginning, when I was first starting out on my mission that God has given me, there was times when I was unnecessarily debating people on the internet, wasting my time, and then you become like a rabbit, because you got to get fast answers, fast research, you're not being diligent, you're not being patient, you're going too quick, you're going too fast, you got to get everything out there, and you're not studying the way you should. So then all of a sudden, once I got away from that mentality, I knew that was evil, God showed me, I settled down. I became much more patient and much more diligent and doing my work and much more diligent in my researches and work. My work has been getting better and better and better. And that's how you progress. But you got to be like the turtle. You got to go slowly but surely, not fastly and unsurely. Because when you go fast, you're not sure, you're not researching, you're not studying. And that's one of the things even now, although I have gained a lot more patience than I had, I still pray for patience because I'm still impatient. I don't have the patience the way I want it. I was talking to the sisters about this last week, and I said it's strange because I always say God is the master of time. He controls time. He can either make me live to 120 years, add years to my life to get the work done, or he could slow the clock up. I know he's the master of time. So it's not like I don't know I don't have enough time. I believe God will give me enough time. So I say, why do I believe that God's the master of time? And I'm still impatient, and I don't act like I believe it. You understand? Like saying, I don't act like I believe it, but I do believe it. Some sort of similar to what St. Paul was saying, you know, like my spirit wants to do a thing, my flesh tells me to do another thing. But then I thought there was another reason why. It's not just impatience with me. I figured this guy revealed this. I was just praying to God, and he always helped me, God, with this, you know, about 3 weeks ago, and he says a lot of it is not just, it leads to impatience, it's being over-anxious. I'm over anxious. I want to get it out there. I want to get the work out there. I want to get it for God. I want to do it for God. Even when the brothers, we first came here, we're running all over town trying to convert the whole town. We want to go out and give glory to God. God admires that. That zeal. But when you're over anxious, you go ahead of yourself. And over anxiousness leads to impatience. They're cousins. They're linked. So when you're over anxious, you're impatient. And when you're impatient, you're not as diligent. You're not as thoughtful. You don't do your research as much. So these are two things I've been struggling with. I've gotten a lot better in it. That's why you can see my work. I take more time in getting the work done and doing all the research. And so God has showed me this by giving us a turtle mountain over here. A turtle mountain. And so it, slow like the turtle, slowly but surely. I think God called me when I was about 40 years old, and I'm now 62 years old. And even when I was in the monastery down there at Berlin, New Jersey, I was around 1995 or 96, and now we're 2018, and the work is slowly but surely getting done, more diligent, more research. So Turtle Mountain represents that to me also. There's a representation there. So now, when we started out at the bottom of the mountain, and Ryan figured out how long it takes you, even though it's only like the path itself is only 2 miles, it takes 3 hours for us to get to the top. But that includes you have to stop. Now, I'm not like in shape when I was a young guy anymore, you know. Now, when I used to play football, we used to do double sessions. And when you do double sessions, you know, you push your body to the fullest. And your muscles are aching, and you got to wake up the next day, and you're still stiff and sore, and they make you stretch it out and go again. Double sessions is you would work out in the morning, and then you would have your little lunch, and you go back out in the afternoon sun, and you work out again. And that was called double sessions. So you, at that time, that's when you're young. Now I'm older. I still exercise, and I still do some weightlifting a little bit. Not. I used to eat weights when I was young. When you're playing football, you need to get strong. So all of us in New Jersey, we're lifting weights and powerlifting. Not to look muscular, but to be strong for football. So I still lift a little bit, and dumbbells. You know, I lift with my dumbbells. I got Bush on this side, Obama on this side, 2 dumbbells, and I lift those dumbbells. And I walk every day. I used to run. I don't run anymore because of pounds on my back. So I walk. But I'm glad I did there. So I don't think I would have made it up to the mountain if I didn't have a little bit of shape. But I'm not going to attribute everything to me being in shape. There's some miracles that took place here, as you're going to learn later on. But the start up the mountain, the hardest part is going up. As far as hard on the legs. So we starting out in the bottom. When you're going up and you're trudging up, you know, you have to stop. If you don't stop and take a rest, and we brought water with us and food. We had beef jerky, and we had trail mix, and we had water and some Gatorade. So we figured we had enough. And we would have had enough. Well, we'll explain that later. Anyway, so you're stopping a little bit because you have to, you know, you rest. Okay, now go, rest. And then finally we get up to the top. Now, before we got up to the top, because I'm going to get to the top, I'm going to give glory to God, I'm going to dance on the mountain. And we told Sister Marie, she's in town here, she was at the ranch, and I want her to go over to my house to film it, because my house got a better shot of Turtle Mountain. So I said, we're going to call you 15 minutes before we get to the top of the mountain, so then you can head over to 302 East Joffrey Street to my house in Tier C, and she can film it from there. Now, I wanted her to film it from a distance with a zoom lens so you can see the mountain, and you're not going to see me as good, but Ryan was filming it on the top of the mountain. So I wanted to have it from both perspectives so you can see the little blur her on the mountain. So anyway, 15 minutes before we arrive to the top of the mountain, We call up Sister Marie and say, come on over to Tier C. We're almost up on top of the Turtle Mountain. What does she find? She's walking out by the St. Joseph statue here, by St. Joseph, and she finds a turtle crawling around. A turtle. I used to, when I had a stronger New Jersey accent, we had some kids in there. I say, I'm going up to Turtle Mountain. And the kid says, it's not a turtle, it's a turtle. Anyway, so she saw the turtle in front of St. Joseph. We haven't had a turtle on this property for 4 or 5 years. We've had them before, like 4 or 5 years ago. No turtles. And you don't usually get turtles in the desert. But we did 5 years ago, and that was weird, too. Because we're close to the Rio, but we're not that close. We're probably about 2 miles from the Rio, or 3 miles from the Rio, too. But turtles? Right under St. Joseph? Right when we called her and said, Sister Maria, we're being on the top of the turtle in 15 minutes. There she finds a turtle crawling right in front of the St. Joseph statue, which shows St. Joseph is the patriarch of the Holy Family and protector of the Holy Catholic Church. So he's the one that's especially helping us to restore the Catholic Church and the faith, along with the good Saint Anne and many other saints. But yeah, he's one of the key figures. So that was no coincidence, folks. So we still have this turtle. We're going to show it to you. I think maybe we're going to eat it. I'm just joking. We're going to boil it up in some turtle soup. Now, this one we would save if we could. I don't know how much hard it is to keep a turtle. But there was a little miracle in itself. She shows us the picture right back. She goes, hey, guess what? As soon as you caught, there's a turtle right over here. Just one little turtle out there, out of nowhere. Anyway, now when we get to the top of the mountain, we're going to show you clips of what we filmed on the top of the mountain. But when we first got to the top of the mountain, they have a steel box with a book in it where you can sign your name. So everybody who went up to this mountain can sign their name. So the first thing I saw on the steel box was a picture of an alien near New Mexico. You know, Roswell, that some of these people believe in aliens. And we know, folks, aliens, I'm not doubting you see them. I know you see them. But they're devils. It's Satan taking on the shape of an alien to make people believe there's extraterrestrial life and to deny the creation story of Adam and Eve. So there's that alien stuff going up there. So I saw on the box where everybody, an alien. So I says, give me a rock. So the first thing I did is I scratched the alien out of there. I scratched the picture of the alien off. You know, I wasn't going to set up any crosses or anything like that yet. So you're going to have a conflict, people in town. Hey, how dare you? You know, let's put up the Muslim thing. Let's put up the Jew thing. Let's put up the Buddhist thing. One day we are going to have a crucifix up there. I know that. But I did get rid of that alien thing. Then all of a sudden, we're up on the top. We got attacked by insects. It was like out of hell. I mean, they came out of nowhere. All the way up, it took us 3 hours to get from the trailhead up to the top. No, nothing. We get up there, bugs, insects all over the place. I said, what the heck is going on over here? It's only up on the top here. So we prayed the St. Michael prayer, and the insects left. They were gone. Just like that. Gone. Not one insect. I mean, they were annoying. I looked on Will's hat. They're all over the top of your hat. They're attacking us. It was Beelzebub. Yeah, I think they really call Beelzebubs. Beelzebubs. They do say he's the king of flies and flying insects. In other words, we were conquering a mountain. This is the first time Catholics have ever been up on that mountain, unless the conquistadors were years ago or somebody else. But it was a big moment. It's like we're reclaiming this mountain. That's the way I looked at it. You know, the devil got angry because we're up on his mountain. You know, as I seen that as symbolic of these insects attacking us. We said the St. Michael prayer, and then they were gone. That quick. So that was the insect thing. Then we got the book and we signed it. And I put down all our names that were up there. Richard Joseph Michael Ibrani, William George Norris, Ryan Gregory Gott. And we signed it. And then we put, visit to John the Baptist website, and Mary's Little Remnant. So that's in the book. We put it back and we put it in the thing and we put the cover back on it. And then I gave thanks to God. We said some prayers up there and I danced. And we'll go to the clip and you'll see some of that. We made it up to the top of Turtle Mountain. It took 3 hours. We left at 6:20. It's now 9:20 Mountain Standard Time. I'd like to give glory to God and thanksgiving for all the graces He's given me to finish my book, The Hellenization of Christianity by the Anti-Church Fathers and the Scholastics, with the special mediation of our Holy Mother Mary under our title of Lady Seat of Wisdom, St. Gabriel the Archangel, and the Scourge Prince of the Heavenly Messengers, and especially intercession and protection of the good St. Anne, who protects the mission God has given me from anybody who tries to take it away from me, and especially from my own concupiscences. I pray for every day to keep me on the straight road and free from all sins. Thank you, Lord God. I give glory to you for all the graces you've given me to complete that spiritual mountain and give me the opportunity to climb this physical mountain. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered, and let them that hate him
flee from before his face. As is written in the book of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way for the Lord, and make straight in the plain a path for our God. For every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked way shall be made straight, and the rough ways plain. For all flesh shall see the salvation of our God, the Catholic God. We thank you, Lord God, and I do a little dance for you. Sounds almost rushing a little bit. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, now at the same time, then, we're contacting Sister Marie in town, and she's locating this on the top with her thing, and she's filming me dancing on the mountain. It's far away. It's not the best zoom lens or anything, but you can still see something, I think, when you're looking at it. You can see that we're up there. And then we were speaking to her by our mobile phones back and forth. Then we put her on, and then we were praying together. With Sister Jane was in town with Sister Marie and Brother Ron. And I said, when I heard them talking on the phone, I says, you're up on Turtle Mountain too now also. I can hear you up here on Turtle Mountain. So we were praying together a little bit up on Turtle Mountain. We were talking to the sisters, and she was, so we can locate her, she was flashing a mirror thing, and you can see the flash of the sun off the mirror, and it was easier to locate where they were, because they went up a little, where my house is, they went up on a little hill so they can get up a little higher even to try to get close to us. So they were filming it below, we were up top. And another thing I forgot to mention, which is very, very important, on the way up, the Lord has given us great weather. Now, in this desert, it gets hot out here, folks, and don't trust what they tell you on the news reports. I'll tell you why they do this, you know, and you look at the national weather reports and you look at the local ones and they all lie. Now, we have our own temperature gauges out on our properties. When it gets hot out here, it's almost every day 110 and 115. It gets up. You think that's only Arizona, right? Who knows what Arizona really is, because they all lie. So when you look in town, they'll tell you if it's 115 here in town, they'll tell you it's 100. Not 100. They'll never tell you it's 110, 115. Or if it's 100, they'll tell you it's 95. Why do they lie? Because they don't want people to be scared off from moving here or visiting here. They don't want to discourage people. It's one of those, it's really, it's another like how people, all men are liars, because it's not true. Because it's amazing. We look at the TV and it says, guess what? It was 100 degrees to your seat today. And you look at your temperature thing, it was 110 or 115. You go, you're lying. I mean, my point is that it gets hot out here. But it's a dry heat. So it's way better than the humidity you get in the Northeast. It is better. When you get humidity mixed with heat, it's the most uncomfortable, nasty feeling. When you're out here, even though it's 115, you do not get that humidity. Humidity is even worse than in the Northeast than here. I'd rather have this 115 heat than the humidity kind of heat. We get humidity out here and it's different. The point I'm making is that when you're going up that mountain, if that's and the sun comes up like really early and starts burning like as soon as it comes up, we got there right when about sunrise, about 6:15, the sun was rise, 6:18. So we wanted to get up there right when the sun was rising so we can get up there earliest so it didn't get so hot. But it starts getting hot right away, 8, 9 o'clock, you're already roasting. If you don't have a swamp cooler or you're not protected, you're immobilized in the desert. You need to prepare for these things because you can't do anything. We have things called swamp coolers here that work absolutely great. They're better than air conditioners, but they're only good in places where there's no humidity. It's water on pads and a fan blowing it through, and the hotter it is, the icier, because it's like ice cold, the air comes out and moisture comes in here. It's a very healthy thing. And without swamp coolers, we're dead. We'd have to dig a hole and go underground. That's how hot it is. So we prayed that we'd have a special God would go before us and cover us with a cloud. And he did. All the way up, not only did he have a cloud over the sun, a breeze. It was great. It's like, I mean, you know, when it gets really hot out here and I do my daily walk and stuff, I mean, it bears down on you. It sucks everything out of you. And like one guy told me, when you come into the desert here, be careful because you don't always get thirsty, but you need to drink or you'll get dehydrated and you won't even know it. Because it doesn't always bring on a thirst. But the heat just pulls everything out of you. So our prayer was, this is going to be a big thing. Please, God, give us a nice weather. And he did. All the way up to the top. Cloud cover in the sun. Beautiful breeze. We got up to the top and it was a beautiful breeze. Minus once the insects were gone. That was their only pestilent thing up on the top. But the breeze was beautiful. when we got to the top. Okay, now, when we were on the top of the mountain, and then we stayed up there for a while, and then we're getting ready to come back down, and I said to the brothers, I said, brothers, you know, it's really better to have something, and they always tell you this, it's better to have it harder on the way up than on the way back, your first part, because then you already got done with the hard part. Now they go, the rest is easy compared to what you guys just went through. Because if it's the other way around, you're already a little bit, even though you take the easier path first, you're still a little bit tired. Now you got to do the rough way home. So really, it's always better to have a hard way going up, and then you go, now it's downhill. And it's you're coasting downhill most of the time. Now, here's what happens on this trip. I have to get back to this. I wanted to mention this. When you're driving, going up that trail, you'll see, we're going to show you the trail here. There's several mountain peaks before you get there. And what's deceiving is, this is deceiving, when you think you're almost there and you look at this one mountain, and we kept saying to Ryan, is that the Turtle Mountain? No. And you, that's not the Turtle? Okay, all right. So you get up to there and you look at another mountain. And you're going down, you go, is that the Turtle? No. And you, because it's hiding the Turtle. So it's deceptive. You think you're there, you're almost there, and you got to go up and down, up and down, up and down. So even if you're going back, but you're still going on a steady incline, but up and down these mountain peaks. So even on the way down, we'd have to do a little bit up, but we'd be doing mostly down. Still would have been easier. But I just want to get at a point here. When you think it's, you know, even though it's not miles speaking, if you're walking on the street, that's not a lot. But when you're going up and you're doing this kind of stuff, it was pretty hard going up there. And especially in the beginning, you know, when you're going up on a steeper incline, man, you're working it out. And then we had to take rest. So we're doing this up and down thing. And then even that last one, he said, oh, yeah, then you see the turtle behind the one. Then you're walking, and then the turtle's gone again, and you see the one, and then you thought that that's the turtle. Now you're not there yet. So we finally got up there. Now, but it's true, the way back would have been easier. So I said, so it's good that, you know, because now the way back is easy. Then, as we were going up there too, I was saying, the first time we tried to attack this mountain, by the way, I just want to qualify what happened here on the way down. The first time years when Brother Will's here and Ron and a couple of us, we wanted to go up the mountain, and we attacked it at the base of the mountain. So we took our car over there, and we didn't go onto the trailhead, which was 2 miles this way. We went right at the base of the mountain, and we were going to hit the mountain straight up. And we started to go, but then we ended up on a thing saying private property. So I said, okay, I don't want to go. I don't want to trespass. And then I got angry. I said, "What? Then who can get up on the mountain?" I says, "This is not fair. They're blocking the mountain from us people. Does somebody own the mountain?" Well, evidently they don't. We didn't look into it. But that's not the way you can. But I thought that's going to be the quick way, because you're at the base of the mountain and you go straight up. And instead of going, if you can see the map here, instead of going all the way over here, and you got to go 2 miles this way from the trailhead. But I didn't know they even had a trailhead at that point. We just thought that we can never get up to that mountain because you're going to trespass hitting it from the base. That's why I sent Ryan ahead of time, a month ago. I said, Ryan, find out how to get up to that mountain. And so he found the trailhead and all that. Now, as we're going up, there's two particular ravines that are going down. He says, you know, look, this looks like it will be a quick way, this ravine, if you can just park a car or a car down there on the road and come up this ravine, I think it would be quicker. Then we got to a second ravine. I said, hey, here's another ravine. Also, that looks like it might be quicker if you park your car here and you take your ravine up. So I'm telling about these two ravines on the way up. And that's the way we wanted to do it originally. So we're heading down. Now we're heading down the mountain. And Ryan takes a wrong path. Not real wrong, but just a little bit. Just a little bit off the trail. And the way he went off the trail, though, brought us to that second ravine that I looked at. And we were right there. So he's taking us to that trail, a little bit off the trail. And he says, oh, I'm a little off the trail. We got to get back on. And I'm looking down that second ravine. Now it's the first one coming back. And I went, that's going to be easier going down that way. It's going to be quicker. It's going to be easier. That's the way I wanted to do it the first time. Look, I mean, it don't look that hard. Well, here. Now, first of all, when you take a city boy and bring you can take a city boy to the mountains, but you can't take the city out of the city boy. What I'm trying to get at is I'm coming from Newark, New Jersey. I'm a city boy, and I'm now a masterful mountain climber. I know everything about my Mr. Know-It-All. And here's part of it, too. there was part of me saying that if we come back here again, I might find a quicker path. Me, a quicker path. I know better than them. I know better than all these mountain people that have been around here and did the trail. I'm going to do better than them. So there's a little bit of stupidity on my part, okay? Stupidity. Also, impatience. I want to get down the quicker way. But it was also that if we're going to come up here a lot and I can knock an hour off of this thing, you know, there was a little bit of that going on. But here's the stupid part. The stupid part, the city boy part, doesn't know what, you know. When you look at the mountain from a distance, or when you're looking at it from the top and you're looking down, everything looks smooth. You can see it on these pictures. It looks smooth. You don't see no cliffs. You don't see no crevices. You don't see no ravines. You don't see giant boulders. You don't see rocks. You don't see cactuses. You don't see none of that. It looks just pretty smooth. So, from me looking at it, and looking at the front, I said, I can't be taught. Look, here's the ravine. And you look at it, it leads right out. I said, so when we go right out down there, and then you get to the bottom, it has these little, when you're looking from the top, it has these little hills. Look, marked little hills. That's when we got into our final maze on the bottom. So stupid me, impatient me, God allowed it. Now, we don't know. You can argue about this, but I looked at it as a punishment due to my own sins. He was punishing me because of my impatience, because I want to do things quickly. But he also was showing me what it was like to write the Theophilosophy book I wrote. Because it was like reading the trip down, because I did take the quick way. And guess Brother Will came with me. If he didn't, I would have been. I'll tell you what happened. What happened was when I want to take the quick way, and I start going down, and the thing is, you have to go down sideways because it's steeper. So you're going down sideways, and the rocks are moving, but if you go sideways, you're kicking down rocks, but you're going like this. I went, well, I can handle that. That's not too bad. Kicking down a few rocks, I slide down a little bit. As I went about 10 or 20 feet, I went, I wouldn't, your average person shouldn't do this, but I think I can, you know, we can handle. And I said, hey, guys, come down this way. And then Ryan says, no, I'm going. See, I left the guide, right? I left the path, right? I'm glad he didn't come. Then he said to Will, you better go down and help him. If Richie's going to go, he's going to, it's good. Not only that, but as this goes on, Will had most of the water. I didn't have a lot of water. We wouldn't have been, you could have been dead. We would have died if things didn't work out right. But you could have had rangers come in. I didn't want to, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. So anyway, Will says, okay, I'll go with Rich, you know. Now, if Ryan also came down and we all went down, it would have been even worse. Because Ryan, he took the path. And we told Ryan, when you get to the truck, drive along the road and we're going to come out on the roadside. Real quick, we'll get down there way before he does. And then when he gets the thing, meet us on the road. So I'm going down the thing sideways. Will's following me now. So it's Will and I, and Ryan's taking the path. But guess what? That smooth-looking path was not smooth at all. You know, it's sort of, God showed me lessons too. It was sort of like writing a book. It's like, I always tell the brothers, oh, this book is going to be easy. I'll be done in a month. It ain't that easy. You think Hellenization of Christianity books is going to be done in a couple months, a couple years? It ain't that easy. I learned now not to say that anymore. You see what I'm saying? Because you learn. But you go, it's not going to be that easy. It's going to be very difficult. It's going to be a lot of twists and turns. Like I said, you want to talk about crooked ways and rough ways? We took the rough way. So I took what I thought was the quick way, and it was way harder and way more dangerous. Way harder and way more dangerous and way more physical. Even though I'm in pretty good shape, I'm not in great shape. I'm pretty good shape. My lungs were never in a great shape. I have to attribute me getting out of there to a miracle. I still do, because all the stuff, at 62 years old, the stuff I did, I felt like I was a kid again, climbing in the woods. I don't know. God just gave me the strength. It was like a miracle. For me, it was a miracle, because I could not have done what I did if God didn't help me. So I'm going to just tell you what happens as you're going down the mountain. So you're going down the mountain, you're kicking out rocks, and then we're looking for that crevice. So we find that crevice, and we're going down that ravine, and it wasn't too bad. We're going down the ravine. Then we come off to the side, and we go, oh, look, the ravine's heading off to this way. So we get to the ravine, and there's a sheer face like this, where you have to actually jump down it. Because other than that, everything you can, and we had to learn, you had to learn a little bit of rock climbing. Some of the stuff is so steep, they had to go down on your ass. You had to sit down on your behind, and you had to go down this way, or you fall. So you had to slide down on your ass to get down so you wouldn't fall. That wasn't, this thing was like a face. You had to jump down it a little bit. And then once you jumped down that, we figured the ravine was around the corner. So I jumped down first to face, then Will follows me, and it turns out we're on a ledge. And you look over that ledge, boom. I mean, she'll show you on the map here. It was straight down. And there's no way to go. And we just jumped down a ledge. That was the hardest part, I think. Yeah. All right. And I said, we're down on this, there's nothing to grab on. I said, how are we going to get back up? We're stuck on this cliff. Get ready to call the helicopters, get the Rangers out here. I said, I don't want that. If I had to, I would have called them. I'm not being proud. But I wanted to first see if we can get out. I wanted to trust in God to deliver us. I said, I don't want to look stupid if I don't have to, right? I'm already stupid enough for what I did. I would have called the Rangers if I had to. I'm not proud. I really would have. And I always knew in the back, if we have to, then we got to do that. But I don't want them to say, where is your God? How come your God didn't protect you, Richard? You know, I'm not putting them down, but there's a little bit of that could go on, you know. And I thank God you do have people like them, by the way, because you know that just in case something happens. Because Will had the mobile home and and we were in contact with the sisters. But so as soon as we hit that cliff, and I'm looking this way and I'm looking at the thing, I didn't stay long. I knew it. It says, don't stay long. Don't think long. Get back up that cliff. So I turned up. We had walking sticks. Threw the walking stick up, and I jumped up and grabbed the little thing like this and pulled myself up over that cliff. That was hard. And everything I'm doing and Will's doing, we're trying to help one another if we're up there, but... And I hope one of us is thinking, if Rich goes down, what am I going to do? If Will goes down, what am I going to do? But God protected both of us. So that was the hardest thing, going back over that. But that took a lot of energy out. Then we get on the top. I said, there's your ravine, Rich. Dead end. Now we came down, you'll see on the map, pretty far. I went, oh no, I'm not going to go back up again. We can never make it back up again after it was pretty far coming. Then you have to, with those stones coming up, when you go up. So, once we got over that cliff again, I'm looking and I saw a mountain here. I said, Will, I said, look at that mountain. That's the trail right there. I says, all we got to do is get up to that mountain. Let's go back to the trail and take the trail. Okay, so we walk up to that mountain. That wasn't the mountain. That wasn't the trail. That was one of those minor mountains. So we got on top of that mountain and behind it was the big mountain that we came down from. And now you're looking at it and going, oh, there's the trail. I said, we're never going to get back up there. The physically going up is so hard. I don't think we're going to make it. And if we make it up there, we'll never make it down the trail. I says, let's go find another ravine, that other ravine. Because it was that first ravine we came to. And you can see it. So we looked at it, and we're getting tired. I says, we'll never make it back up there again. Now we're sipping our water. We can't drink a lot of water because we don't have a lot of it. So we got to meter our water. And now, and by the way, folks, as soon as I decided to come down that mountain, the sun came out. So now God's punishing me. I know, I'm saying, God, I'm confessing to God my sins. First, my stupidity for doing this and almost killing Will. My own stupidity. My own lack of patience. And then I offered up as a punishment due to my sins. Even when I was, as we go on, these prayers are not all happening at the one time. When I'm praying as we're going down, I said, Lord, this is the theophilosophy way. This is the long way to the park. This is the hard way. This is the impossible way. And I went, God, I hope it's not impossible. We're dead. I says, I know the theophilosophy is impossible because there's no truth. There's no way. So there was a point where I said, but Lord, forgive me my sin and open a path and give me a way to get physically out of here. Give us a way to get physically out of here. At one point, even I felt like Abraham, like when he was traveling through the desert in one scene and he's trying to get to the promised land and the sun's beating down on his head and he's almost ready to quit and don't lose your faith. Keep going. I says, Lord, be with us. Show us, open up the path for us. Please don't leave us abandoned here. I know I deserve it. You have every right to let me get stuck here. But I confess in my impatience, all my sins, and I'm offering it up for the punishment due to my sins. And I said, well, I feel a little bit like Abraham when he was traveling to the promised land and it was getting kind of hot and hard and you almost want to quit. But at one point I even said to Will, I said, hey, this is kind of fun, isn't it? Like the adventure. You don't have time to even in the back of the mind, you know, you got to keep going. You don't have time to be scared or anything. On the cliff, you get a little bit nervous, but you don't have time. You just got to go. So when we got, then we're looking at the second ravine that we're going to go down. And that is the way we took. That's the way that eventually took us out of here first. But when we got up there, I wanted to make sure there was no cliffs at the end of that ravine. So, you start learning about rock climbing a little. So I'm learning a little bit about. I said, Will, you go first up to that thing instead of both of us. Because if it's not right, then I don't want to walk there and lose my energy. And then come back, only you're going to lose your energy. Then I'll go up the next time and I'll lose my energy. So we had to send scouts out. So I scouted them out to the tip of that mountain to look over the ravine and say, do you see any cliffs? Because I don't want to go down that ravine and end up with another cliff, because we're dead. I'm not going to have strength again to come off of that second ravine and go back up again and try to find a third ravine. Even if you had enough water, I don't think I'd have the strength. Maybe you would if you had enough water, you can drink it and rest a little bit. But there's another problem with all of this. We couldn't rest too much, because what happens when your legs start getting tired, if you rest too long, they freeze up on you. You freeze. It gets like a rock. So you can only sit for a while and sip a little water and get up and keep going. Because it took me my legs, just today, for the first time, my legs are getting better. They were sore for 3 days. I could hardly bend down even. We're standing because of the soreness of my legs. A little bit in the arms, but mostly my legs. So I said, we can't sit long or we're going to freeze up. And we got to keep going down. So then he went to the tip and he says, it looks pretty good. And that happened to be the ravine that eventually took us out. But then going down that ravine. Now, here's my point. When you're looking at the top, everything looks smooth, right? What do you got going on here? You got boulders. You got rocks. You got cactuses. We had water traps. Water was water. Water traps. You got rattlesnakes, which is something I didn't think about. And Ryan had the rattlesnake gun.
I forgot to give it to
him. Rattlesnakes, when you disturb rocks, that's when they'll get you. And we were disturbing a lot of rocks. Then you had a miniature little rocks, boulders falling down. When you kick it, boulders are coming down. And like Bruce even said, you got to worry about like starting an avalanche with rocks. Then you got cactuses. I must have fell at least 10 times hard. Cactuses all sticking. I had cactus stuff all over me. And then I said to Will, I wish we had some gloves. Now, it's a miracle that not one of my bones was broken. It's a miracle. Because really, the first time I fell real hard, this whole thing got numb. And I thought I broke it, but it wasn't broken. And at one point, we were coming down, when we were on that cliff, when the devil said to, remember when the devil said to Jesus, go ahead, jump, you know, God will help you. And I said, don't tempt the Lord your God. Don't tempt the Lord your God. I was thinking all that, you know. We weren't tempting God. So I could have said, jump off the cliff, God will help us. Do the human thing and God will help. And God did help us. It was a miracle getting out of here without a bone broken. Without needing stitches or anything. And I mean, we both fell a couple times. I fell quite a few times. And then you slip and you're sliding and you're falling. So this is the quick way. And I'm thinking all along, this is the old philosophy, the hard way. You got to go through all these obstacles, Aquinas, Jerome, Origen, Scholasticism, all your apostate anti-popes and their decrees. This was the rough, the crooked way. It was torture. And I was offering all up for punishment due to my sins and all that, as I said before. So we come to that ravine part, and we come to one section where you have a sheer wall on either side like this, and there's water down there. You don't know how deep that water is or what's in there. I don't even know where the water came from, but it must have been from the rain. But it was like a sheer wall like this. I says, if we don't go through this wall, we're dead. That's the end of this ravine. So we had to shimmy through that wall. You had to like shimmy it. Put the stick over there and shimmy through that wall. Then we came to that other wood, another water obstacle that was similar to that and even harder. It had like a little mountain part over here, strong and some water. And Will said, how deep is the water? And I put it wasn't too deep, the stick, but it was deep down. So you have to jump in there. And so, but there was a rock up over here, but there was a cactus covering it. So I had to chop off the whole cactus so we can sit up on that rock and push along here like this. And then get along there and get out of that ravine. And if you didn't do any of those things, you're stuck. Because that was the way out. And I go, what is next, you know? And you were used to like looking at it. Even when we saw that second ravine, and we said it. And it did turn out to be the right one, though. And I said, it doesn't look like there's any major cliffs. And there weren't any major cliffs, but it was still big enough.
You didn't know.
Yeah.
Even then.
Even then, you didn't know.
You didn't know. Like,
what's around the corner?
Yeah, what's around the corner?
Exactly. That's the... Here's the worst part, what Brother Will's mentioning. This is like somebody... There's no scout. This is like if I'm doing it for the first time, the unknown.
Uncharted waters.
And that, like when you're trying to find a new world or something. That's... There's an anxiousness, and you go, I don't know. Now, if I knew, now if we had to do it again, at least you'd know you'd get out. And you'd know how to go... I'd never want to do that again unless I have to. But if I did, I would know how to go prepare, and it still would be dangerous, but I have more tools, more equipment, more water, more whatever I need. So what makes it even more difficult, you're right, is not knowing, because every time you turn a bend, you thought you're there and you're not there. Then you say, well, maybe there's not a cliff, but there is a cliff. And that's when we came against those two obstacles. We thought, and then you run into those obstacles. So every time you go around another turn, there's another something there looking you in the face. So there's that uncertainty that if I got to go through all of this and we're going down, 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 and I knew, we already saw, I said, if we get to a dead end, then we're just going to have to call the Rangers. The helicopter's going to have to come out and pick us up because I'm not going to go all the way back up again. We wouldn't have had the strength to do it. But we got that, it was the right ravine. It was still rocky, it was bumpy, and you had to go down all kinds of falling and tripping and cactuses sticking in you. And all kinds of stuff. But then, when we're getting down sort of to the bottom, those things that looked like little hills from the top, weren't so little. We could, and then all of a sudden, we're out of phone range. He can't contact his sisters anymore, but my phone was working, so they were able to call me on my phone because they didn't know what happened. And now we're going through this maze. Yeah. This maze of hills that twist and turn, and you can't see anything now. You lose sight of everything. And you don't know, am I just doubling around? Am I going backwards? Am I coming out? Am I going this way? And at the same time, now we're getting more and more thirsty. We get to one point where there's a little shade. God gave us a nice shade tree, but we still don't want to stay too long under it because I would have froze up. Drank some water. How much you got, Will? How much do I got? We were measuring our water, and we really needed more water, and we couldn't drink that much because if we drank too much, we had to start measuring the water out. And it was like, you can see when your body really needs it, so... When we're going through these twists and turns, I'm going, I hope this doesn't last too long because our water's not going to hold out. And we're going to have to drink the water. And at that point, you're not seeing anything, just these hills. And you're going, and you're going. And then we come to another adventure on the trip down, barbed wire, which was good, though, really. When we saw the barbed wire, we knew we're on that's private property, that somebody owns it. So Will said, oh, should we go over there? And I said, well, we got it. I don't think he's going to yell at us if we're trespassing on his property. If he finds out we were stuck on his mountain, he'd probably help us. Unless he's a vicious bastard, I'm going to trespass. But so we had to go under the barbed wire like GIs. You had to throw stuff over and get on our belly and slide under the barbed wire. Now, here's another moral to the story. When you go down the crooked path, when you go down the path to theophilosophy, you end up in heresy. Illegal. You do things that are illegal. What's illegal when it comes to dogmas? Heresies. And you do. Look, some of the heresies I held. Look at my path into the church. I held heresies that I had to get rid of as I'm going along. So I said, see, when you go the long way, the hard way, the difficult way, the crooked way, you end up falling into heresies. Even if you're goodwill and you don't want it, you're going to end up falling into that. That's where that path leads you. So now we're on breaking the law, but I didn't worry about it because I knew if the guy caught us, unless he's a monster, he would have helped us. But at least we knew now we're on private property. But it still wasn't over because there's still these mountains, these twisting and turning and twisting. And you can't see anything. And that's what I'm saying to God, like, you know, the sisters are saying, Brian calls up, where are you? He says, I can't tell you where I'm because I can't see anything. And he says, I'll beep the horn. He beeps the horn. He's on one of the roads somewhere, and I don't hear his horn. And I'm again praying to the Lord, God, please, I know I don't deserve a way out of here. I was stupid. I'm impatient. I always want the quick way. You have every right to just leave me here. But please have mercy and forgive me and give me a way out of here. And if there's something blocking our way, have St. Michael knock it out so we can get out of here. And I'm thinking about Abraham when he's going through there. There's low on water. We had food, though. We did have food. It was more a water thing now. It was getting serious with the water. And I'm saying, I said it would be something like if we fell short just like 100 yards before we hit the road. And then we just about made with the water myself, at least. You know, well, you can tell we were kind of near the end of it, getting tired. But so we're going through these mazes. And you're still not sure where you are yet because I couldn't see anything. And then the first time we saw I turn one bend, we see a water tower. The water tower in 2 feet is on a high part. We can see the water tower. We can see the city. It's like the promised land, you know, when he gets over the mountain, he goes, oh, the promised land, we found it. It was like finding the promised land, right? And that's then I was able to tell Ryan, get a beat on it where we were coming out. And then we lost sight of it again a little bit, came around one more turn, then we saw the city. And then we said, good. I mean, it's like, it was still tired though, you know? And then as we saw the city, we're coming out, and we saw, it started getting a little more level, and we saw somebody threw out a fireplace or something. They dump stuff sometimes in the desert, illegal dumping. And I saw something dumped over. I said, good, we're close to a road or something, because somebody dumped a stone over here. So we were getting close. And we get to another barbed wire, which is the end of, I guess, that guy's property. And we're going to have to go under that. But at that time, we're speaking to Ryan. And there's one hill, there's one house on the top. You can see it here. You'll see it on the picture. There's one house on the top, below Turtle Mountain. But it's on the mountain range. And it's below it. And there's that one house. So that's where he ended up going, because he knew that we went up, came down that path. So Ryan, really, you were in the right place. Exactly. Perfectly. And Sister Marie was with him, by the way. So it was Ryan and Sister Marie. And she had all the water ready and everything ready. And so he was in the right place, and he's talking to Will, and he says, I'm on the house. And all of a sudden they see one another. Yeah. And you go, oh, thank God, you know? And then Ryan said, yeah, all you got to do, go under that fence and go left and you'll hit the road. And it was the road of the guy who lives on the house. Mm-hmm. He has his own private road that he blocks off on the bottom. So Ryan parked his car at the bottom of the hill there, and he walked up to the house. So then when we saw that, you know, at that time when he's talking to him, I'm going under the barbed wire again, and my toes cramp up like this. I get a cramp, and all my whole foot cramps up. And I got to grab it. And I go, oh, I got to grab it. And then I said, well, give me the water. And I know we were close. I said, let's finish the water. So we sheared out the rest of the water. Not much, but we finished the water, because I said, now we're close. So let's finish the water. It reminds me of that thing that St. Paul said when they were on the ship. He says, go ahead, eat. Everything, tomorrow you're going to be safe, because you're afraid to eat and all that. But anyway, so we finished off the water, and then he came under the barbed wire, he went to the left, and then we hit the road. And we saw the guy in the boat, so Sister Marie comes running down, and as soon as she comes running down, Sister Jane on the other side quotes her daily Bible reading. And that was something. When I heard you read, did you read it? You read it out on there.
She texted it out.
And this was her daily Bible reading. So as soon as I hit the road, Sister Marie comes down. She has it on her. She goes, Mom, I want you to read this. This is her daily Bible reading. It was Psalm 106, 4 to 8. I think in the Protestant Bible, it might be Psalm 107 or 105. They wandered in a wilderness in a place without water. They found not the way of a city for their habitation. They were hungry and thirsty. We weren't hungry, but we were thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Yes, that's true. Body, and you get tired. And they cried to the Lord in their tribulation, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them into the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Let the mercies of the Lord give glory to him and his wonderful works to the children of men. So that's another miracle of him getting us out of there without having to call for help. And us were not like, and Will's from Chicago, Illinois. I'm from Newark, New Jersey. We're both city boys. We're not like, you know, your mountain people. Will's follow him. It's my fault. I could have got him killed. But it wouldn't have been my fault. But what I'm saying is, through all my stupidities and trying to be impatient and quick, God can still forgive you. He can still show you the path. And in the meantime, he brought good out of evil. I mean, he showed me. Will, I can say to Will, he now knows what writing that book was like. Spiritually. Yeah, really. Rocks, Aquinas, Origin. Oh, I fell on my ass over here. Oh, I got stuck over here with cactuses on this. We're trapped on a cliff. There's a dead end here. There's no way out. You know, it is. So what we went through physically is what I went through writing the book. In a way, I thank God. I'm not thinking that I sinned, but I thank God in a way, because it wasn't easy. Neither was the book. The way up and the way down, when we went up, it was easy. And the way down, if I followed the path, it would have been easy. Because the path, that, you know, say yourself, you know, Richard, they have paths for a reason. These people have been here for years. And you think you know better than them. And you know, Well, I'm glad that all my mountain climbing skills when I was a kid, because I used to love when I was a kid, you like running through the forest and climbing over things and your bones are all rubbery. My part with the miracle is I'm waiting for myself to collapse, but I'm getting the strength out of nowhere. I'm giving glory to God. Yeah, I know that I stay in a little bit of good shape, fairly, but not like that. Will's younger than me, too, but I think even he'd admit, too, that God was helping him, too, because we're not used to it. I mean, it was difficult. I mean, it just at the end, though, when you were there, you see it on another. I had that cramp in the phone. I said, Will, I said, he's on the phone. I'm saying, Will, give me some water. I said, give me some water on the back of your back. And then I said, finish the water over here. I said, we're at the end of it. And it just when we came out, and then Sister Jane reads that quote right there. But I tell you, the way, I mean, no bones broken. You could have twisted, not even twisted an ankle. I got a lot of minor cuts and scrapes, and I got some stickers all over me from cactuses. And I should have at least twisted an ankle, broke a bone. It's a miracle that none of that happened.
I think it was the snakes.
The snakes, too. Yeah. I was praying that. You know when you kick out? Did you see a couple of them holes on the side of the rock where snakes were living? Yeah. Rattlesnakes? I didn't say anything, too, but I saw a big spider. I don't know if it was a poison, but I kicked a rock and a spider came out. I don't know what. But rattlesnakes are all over this place. So he did. He protected us from rattlesnakes. Yeah. How important are St. Patrick prayers in the morning? Especially that morning.
I know.
That morning. So we finally got out. God delivered us. We didn't have to call for help. I'm not trying to be proud. I would have called for help if I had to. I'm not a proud person. I make a mistake, I do. But I did want God to deliver us. I did. I didn't want people saying, you know, Mr. Big Shot, you go up to the mountain, you say God is your God. He's the cat. How come he didn't deliver you, Mr. Wise Guy? But he did. And I can imagine all the devils and demons putting curses on us during that trip down. They're going, yeah, hey, we got him. We got him. Look at these two jerks. We got him. But, so anyway, you learn a lot of lessons. Don't be impatient. The quick way is not always the best way. And guess what? It wasn't even the quick way. It was a long way to the park. When we got down, Sister Marie, she'll show you in the map on the thing. She drew the way we went down. And it was the way we went down was 2.3 miles. The path was only 2 miles. So it wasn't even quick. That's provided he would have parked the car at the bottom of where we were coming, but we weren't going to walk the other way. So it wasn't even the quick way. It was longer. I learned too. What is it? The long way to the park, right? Because when I come down, I sainted. I said, Lord, I says, I know with the old philosophy, there is no way and there is no truth. That means I'm not going to get out of here. I'm blocked. I said, but please, God, forgive me my impatience and my stupidity, and get me out of here anyway, please. And it's sort of like writing the book, though. You know, when you're in that book, you really get lost yourself a lot until you got to sit back, you got to pray, you got to study, you got to read. It's a lot of stuff. But you know, when you get done with it and it comes out, people can read the book. They can see the Hellenization book. They can see it's in there. The biggest obstacle I'm going to tell the people right now is to realize that not everybody who's a saint is a saint. You got to get rid of your idolization of the church fathers even and all the saints. Even a true pope doesn't have the ability to infallibly make a saint, and apostate anti-popes, automatic loss of office when you become a formal heretic or an idolater. These are big things, that big obstacles we had to overcome so that we can then break through some heresies. Because that's sort of, I can compare it to when we had to go on the illegal property, when I was following some of their heresies, because he's a pope, and he's taught, like in Council of Florence or Trent, they taught something that's really a heresy, you're embracing it because you think he's a pope, that's infallible, and you believe it, it's not true. It's a heresy. God allowed it to happen to trap people because in front of their very eyes, when they go into the churches and look at all the idols and the false gods and the pornography in the churches, that should have been enough for them to walk out of that church and say, I'm going to listen to nothing you people say for nothing. There's no way I'm going to listen to you. You may not have believed he lost his office, but I'm not going to follow that bastard in anything. I'm not going to listen to him on the faith. Neither how can somebody who has idols in there do anything correct. But the journey down was a real thing. So I thank God. First, for getting the book complete, of course, the Blessed Mother, the Good Saint Anne, Saint Joseph, and all the angels and saints that helped me finish that. When I was a kid, I used to have these nightmares of the devil was always chasing me. I'd be sleeping in bed, when I was a young kid, it was a horrible nightmare. Same thing over and over again. And he'd be chasing me in my bed. I'd get out of my bed and run out of the house, and he's behind big black monster, devil. I'd run out of my house to the end of the property, and he'd always catch me. And right before he catches me, I'd wake up, and I'd be sweating. I'd be turned around in the bed. My sheets would be on. My mother would come in and say, what the heck's going on here? And it's this big monster coming after me. And this is the work I have here. It's monstrous. But more than that, even, I had told the sisters that many times I've had dreams when I'm doing this work of God, and I still do. He still does this to me. This is the worst kind of dream can happen. Where you're dreaming, and you're climbing a mountain. This is one I had. And in the dream, you climb a mountain, and I finally get to the top, you know, and you figured you got there. And I wrote this dream down, even. I told the sisters about it, probably the brothers, even. I think I told the brothers. And when I got to the top of that mountain, I went, oh, no, I'll tell the canoe one later. That came before, but I'll finish this one. I finally get to the top of that mountain. I go, I made it. I look behind it, and I go, no, there's another mountain. I looked at that mountain. I fell on the ground. I said, I can't do it, Lord. I'm dead. I got nothing in me. Let somebody help him. Somebody go help him. Somebody help him. And then God said, no, you have to do it alone. Leave him. No, he has to. You have to do it alone. You know. And a dream I had before that early was, I call it the canoe dream. I'm in a canoe and I'm going down a stream. Real nice. Then the stream's getting lower and lower. It's getting a little harder because the stream's getting lower, kind of muddy-ish lower. Then that's kind of hard because I got to push along. Then I come up to a ridge this high. And my canoe's on it, and I went, I ain't never going to be able to get up there. I mean, and all of a sudden, boom, God pushes the canoe up to the top. Then I get up to the top, and I went, wow, without God's grace, you can't complete these mountains. I get to the top, and it's a nice lake, kind of calm. And then it gets even better. I get into where waves, and now you're surfing, and then you're coming home. But that's sort of this whole trip. And I'm just giving glory to God and saying, without God's grace, none of this will be able to get done. It's a monstrous piece of work. It's the ultimate mystery. If you like mysteries like Sherlock Holmes or Catfile movies or like the ultimate Professor Moriarty, it's the devil. And in this case, it represents the anti-church fathers and the scholastics and the apostate anti-popes and all their twists and their turns. Hellenization of Christianity is a glorification of philosophy and mythology. The worst part's philosophy is even worse than the mythology. Mythology is sort of obvious in your face. Philosophy is even worse. So this is the torturous roads you have to unravel. And you have to knock down, and we need to knock them down. Because as long as you keep following Aquinas and Albert the Great Wretch and all these people and Jerome, you're dead in Origen. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead. You're on that where I was with no way out. And the worst part is you think you're in paradise and you're not. You're trapped and you don't even know it. God should let something physically like that happen to them. You can understand how bad it is where they are. In their mind, they know it and they like it. Philosophers love to be lost. I say it a million times because they don't want the truth. Because if they found the truth, that ends their philosophy. That's the end of it. They end no more philosophy. That's why they always keep saying, what is truth? What is truth? They don't want to know the truth. They don't want to know the way out. They want to continue to keep exercising their brains so they can show how smart they are. I'm not going to go on too long. So I have a whole new lecture on the book. So I urge you especially to read the book. And I like to give thanks to the Lord our God, the most blessed and holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and the God the Holy Spirit, the God of the Catholic Church. There's only one church and one. There's only one God. There's only one church then and only one faith. The Catholic God, the Catholic Church, the Catholic faith. I like to thank our Blessed Mother, St. Joseph, and the good St. Anne. Gabriel, and all the angels and saints that have assisted me and continue to assist me in this great work, without which I can do nothing of any good or any worth. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.